Before we continue in the study on Abraham and his calling, let's please return to the Lord in prayer. Most precious Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for your mercies. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for that eternal calling, that calling before time, that calling before deed, that calling in Jesus Christ. Lord, whereby, as we remember in Jude, that we were sanctified by the Father, preserved in Christ, and called. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that calling is sure in Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you would just please open up your word to us here today, that you would, Lord, let us cherish the promises that we have, that you gave to Abraham, Lord, as an example for believers. Lord, we thank you for the promises in particular that you gave us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would just cause us to consider hard these promises that you've given in particular the people of Israel, the people you've called the Jews. Lord, we ask that you would just cause us also to appropriately apply those promises that you gave them. And Lord, as you promised, Lord, that those that believe we are of the seed of Abraham, Lord, that we would also cherish those promises. We realize, Lord, that the church is not the new Israel, that Israel as a people are your people, they're your nation. Lord, and many prophecies are yet to come concerning that people. Lord, we are careful not to account all these promises particular to us, but Lord, let us rightly divide these things and see what you have said to Abraham, and Lord, apply these things, if need be, to our lives. Lord, please forgive us. Lord, we have many concerns upon us. Lord, our days are hard. Lord, and you said that you would be with us, you'd be near us, you wouldn't leave us alone. We thank you, Lord, for those promises. And Lord, we know that because you are the Lord, because you are God, you're Jehovah Elohim, the same that has always been, that just as Abraham could and can stand in your promises, so shall we in the promises of God. Lord, we thank you for this time of worship. We ask that you would receive all these things to the glory of your name and your praise. And we do give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. These verses, again, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said, the Lord Jehovah had said unto Abram, Exalted Father, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I, Jehovah, will show thee. That I, Jehovah, will make thee, Abram, a great nation. And I, Jehovah, will bless thee, Abram, and make thy name, or you could put in parentheses, and I will make thy name great. Jehovah will make his name, Abram's name, great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Abram shall be a blessing. And I, Jehovah, will bless them that bless thee. And I, Jehovah, will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, I, Jehovah, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We look at Abram being blessed in particular, and also a great nation coming from him. Next, we see that God himself will bless him and make his name great. Make thy name great. The name Abram, or the reputation of Abram, the glory, the memorial or monument of Abram, was and shall be by the great Jehovah, even Jehovah himself. The great name of Abraham was contingent upon the great name of God, and there is no other greater name than the name of Jehovah. The first person, or the person Abram at the first here, has a great name. We know because we're talking to him about him almost 4,000 years after his death. Now that in itself is a great monument or memorial or glory unto his name, and a testimony that God's word shall stand, that his name indeed was great. By comparison, let's consider something. I'm going to ask you a question. And this might sound silly, but I think it proves the point. Who invented air conditioning? Does anybody know? We walked from the service over to the parsonage earlier and made comment how hot it was. We enjoy air conditioning every day. Every day our brains don't boil out of our ears because of this invention, air conditioning. Who invented it? Anybody know? 150 years ago, there was a man named Willis Carrier that invented it. 1902, really, is when it happened. But as great as AC is, as great as air conditioning is, we probably never heard that name before. But Abram, everybody's heard Abram's name. Abraham does have a great name. His name is great amongst Christians in the lineage of Jesus. If you look in the genealogies, please turn with me to Matthew. You'd be hard pressed to find someone worldwide not to know the name Abraham in some fashion. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, the reason why we're here, the son of David, the man who has the promise of the Davidic covenant to sit on his eternal throne, and the son of Abraham. Yes, Abraham does have a great name. He does have a great name. If you look also in Luke chapter 3 and verse 34. And again, as we look through these promises, we're just catching an overview. And we're going to catch more about Abraham as we continue through the study of his life. But this is just a brief overview of these promises that have been given on him. Chapter 3 of Luke, verse 34. It says, and as you continue reading, if we read every one of those names, it would start with Joseph, and it would come through verse 34, which is the son of Jacob, which is the son of Isaac, which is the son of Abraham, which is the son of Terah, which is the son of Nahor, which is the son of Sarah. And it continues to verse 38, which is the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which is the son of Adam, which is the son of God. So through Abraham, you can see in the lineage described in Luke that Jesus was both son of man, Adam, and son of God. He was the son of God. His name is great amongst the Jews, as they are still looking for Messiah through his lineage. You go to synagogue, and you'll hear of Abraham, and you'll hear of Messiah coming from the lineage of Abraham. And they have confidence in Jacob through their ancestors. Didn't we read this morning, as John the Baptist was baptizing, those Pharisees and Sadducees said, "Hey, we have Abraham as our father." The Jews say the same thing, even to this day, "Abraham is our father." They're still waiting on that one. The children of Ishmael, that child that came by Hagar, the handmaid, well, he's the father of the Muslims. And they believe that Ishmael, the son of Abram, that was not the son of promise. They believe that he was the ancestor of several prominent Arab tribes, and they're right. And they also believe that he was the ancestor of Muhammad, that had that devilish encounter whereby the Torah, or the Quran rather, was brought forth. The Quran. Yes, a lot of people have state greatness in the name of Abram. The world population, as of July this year, was around 7.6 billion people, with a B. By religion, 33% of all people in the world consider themselves Christian. If they were to consider themselves Christian or have some lineage to Christ for salvation, then they believe that Jesus is the son of Abraham. Islam encapsulates approximately 24% of the world. Judaism, a much smaller number, but a fairly large number if you consider it in itself, 0.2% of the total population are Jews, practice Judaism. So in total, 57.2 or so percent of the world of 7.6 billion people, which is over 4,300,000,000 people, claim Abraham or his lineage and their hope of salvation. Is Abraham's name great? Yes. That lineage chart that you had that you broke out this morning, break it back out. Abraham had two brothers. So if we were to say that Terah's name was great, then that would be a 33% chance that that folks would stake claim to Abraham. But Abram's name wasn't great. Or Terah's name wasn't great, rather. On that piece of paper, there's a large amount of names. And if you see how many names, what would be the practicality that you would think, looking back in history, that well over half the world's population would dare claim hope of eternal salvation through the lineage of one man on that list? How could you dare claim that that would be true? Except God had made His name great. More people in the world believe in some way that through Abram they have salvation. That's very impressive. 24.2% of the 7.6 billion people, which is 1.8 billion people, practice Judaism or Islam in the world today. They believe straight from Isaac or Ishmael that they do have salvation. That's Judaism and Islam. His name is indeed great. He has a memorial and a reputation unlike any other man aside from Adam, that is man totally. And for sure, there is no dispute that God had indeed made His name great. But let's look. That's just a statement of fact. Next we see, and thou shalt be a blessing. Thou shalt be a blessing. The Hebrew translated here, thou shalt be a blessing, comes from a single word in the Hebrew. The meaning of that word means blessing, source of blessing, blessing and praise of God. That's important, blessing and praise of God, and a gift or a present, or a treaty of peace. Or by implication, it means prosperity. Thou shalt be a blessing. In you shall be prosperity. In you shall be a gift. In you shall be the source of blessing. In you shall be the praise of God, is what he's saying. In the practical sense, Abram was not just to get or receive a blessing from God. How many children of God just want to get a blessing from God? Or get a blessing from attending God's house? Or get a blessing from God's Word? How many people of God, children of God, intend to be a blessing? God told Abram, thou shalt be a blessing. How could we not be a blessing? We read of the Psalms earlier that we would speak of the wonders and the works of God in our lives. How could that not be a blessing? How could that not? When we join together, just seeing one another and seeing other believers in God, how is that not a blessing? Yes, we are to bless one another, to be a blessing to one another. We read in Galatians chapter 5 a couple times. I think it would be profitable to read there again, Galatians chapter 5. The Spirit of God moves the people of God to be a blessing. It's impossible not to. Galatians chapter 5, begin reading in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. So when God called Abram, He said, get out of that place of the flesh, get out of that place of your nativity, that place of your birth, get away from your friends and your family and your country and everything that's familiar, and walk in the Spirit. And we've read in Hebrews that Abraham did just that. He walked by faith. By faith, Abraham did this, and by faith, Abraham did that. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be a blessing. Now, it doesn't say if you walk in the Spirit, you won't have lust of the flesh. He just says you won't fulfill it. I think that's important. Every one of us has a lust of the flesh. But he says you won't fulfill it. You won't fulfill it. You know, if we're going to be a blessing and we're going to do what God tells us to do, we can't by necessity fulfill the lust of the flesh. For, or because, when you see the word for, you can also stick the word because in there most of the time. For, or because, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, if God has called you out of Ur of the Chaldees, out of Haran, you are not under the law. What? You're not under the law. You're no longer working works. You're in the Spirit. So what are these things? The fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, is joy, is peace, is long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You want to be a blessing? Crucify the flesh. Live after God. Live the fruit of the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Christ, these are character types of Christ, this fruit of the Spirit. I say this fruit of the Spirit because it does say fruit. It's singular. It's a singular word. These are the different manifestations that the Spirit of God is in someone. But these different manifestations are by nature the characteristics of God and to be a blessing to any who receive them. So if we're exhibiting fruit of the Spirit, if Logan is exhibiting fruit of the Spirit, then others will benefit and be blessed by him doing these things. And by me, or by Hallie, or by Jill, or by Nelda, or Gary, or Lex, or Shane, or Candace, or Adam, any of us. There'll be blessing. The ultimate expression of this idea is that Christ perfectly kept these things. And because he perfectly walked in the Spirit as a man, being God, we are supremely blessed. He blessed us supremely by walking in the Spirit. If we are to be blessed by Abraham, and I think we are, it was because Abraham walked by faith in the Spirit because God had called him out of that land unto a work. And when God calls someone to a work, they do that work. It's a natural progression there. Now imagine Christ was lacking in any of these attributes. We enjoy the blessings that we have from Christ, and we haven't nearly seen the full blessings of Christ in eternity. One day we will. But imagine if he did not walk in the Spirit. Imagine if he wasn't a blessing. What if he wasn't loving or affectionate or didn't have a good will toward his people? What if he didn't have a joy that was set before him, as indicated in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? You remember that joy that was set before him? He endured the cross, despising the shame. Well, what if he didn't have that joy? What if he offered no peace or harmony or safety or security or salvation? What if he had not had patience, endurance, or steadfastness, or forbearance, or slowness and vengeance toward my sin? No, what if he had no kindness or moral goodness? What if he had no faith or faithfulness to the Father? What if he wasn't mild, or what if he lacked self-control? No, Christ ultimately is the chief of all blessers, you could say. We are chiefly blessed in Christ. But because Abram had faith, God said, "Ye shall be a blessing." Just as we have been blessed of God by the work of Christ in our lives, the work of Christ in our lives is to be a living testimony and be a blessing toward others. God commanded Abraham to be a blessing. He commands you, child of God, he commands me to be a blessing. Please turn to Romans chapter 12. He commands us to be a blessing. And that shouldn't be grievous for us. It should be a natural thing for us to love and adore and worship and follow after our Savior. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," that's key. He's not talking to the whole world at large. He's talking to brothers in Christ and sisters. "By the mercies of God, because of the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." Well, how do I do that? We just read in Galatians that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh and we walk after the Spirit. That's how you present your body a living sacrifice. We can do it. "Holy," or separate, acceptable unto God. How can we be acceptable unto God outside of Christ? We can't. But in Christ, we can be acceptable to Him by faith. Living by faith, which is your reasonable service. As He says it's your reasonable service, He indicates that it's possible to achieve such service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't stay in Haran. Get away from your family. Get away from those people who bother and molest and force you to sin. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be that new man, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, what was the will of God for Abram? The will of God for Abram was that he would get out of country, get away from his family, get out of his father's house. What's the will of God in my life? Well, it says right here that by the mercies of God that I present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. That's what it says. That's what it says. To be a blessing, ultimately, if we are living our lives to please God, we can't help but to be a blessing. We can't help but to be a blessing. Many folks love that they think they are blessed of God, but they have no desire that God has called them to be a blessing. James said in James chapter 2, and we won't take the time to read, that our man, well, let's do read it. James chapter 2. I think we need to read this. James chapter 2. It speaks specifically about Abraham. James chapter 2. That Abraham believed God, and his belief in God caused him to do some things. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Or what good is it if you say, I believe, and there's no evidence of it? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? If there's no evidence, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. If there's no evidence, there's no faith. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee thy faith by my works. He says, prove it. Thou believest that there is one God. Oh, I believe in God, people say, as a safety net, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils not only believe in God, they fear God. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Faith that has no fruit is dead? Didn't Jesus say in the reading that we had this morning that we'll have fruit, that his children, his friends would have fruit? Yes, he did. And was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Now, it doesn't say that faith or that his works saved him, but he had faith that worked. His faith also accompanied some verbs. There was some doing. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God. Well, we know that Abraham believed God because when God told him to do something, he did it. How do I know that my children are obedient to me? Well, when I told them to do something, I hope they did do it. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith alone. Well, saying someone has faith and there not being a manifestation of it, but his works were a blessing. Those works of faith that we talked about, we read in Genesis chapter 22 and 28 that the works of Abraham, that they were a blessing. And God continued his promise in those accounts as he did those things there. How, you want to be a blessing? You want to be a blessing? Do what God says. That's how you be a blessing. That's the short end of it. Chiefly, it caused him to do what God told him to do. And he continues to be a blessing in Christ. He continues to be a blessing. If you have been blessed of God, then you are to be a blessing. You can be a child of God and ought to be a blessing by doing what God has told you to do. Well, how do I know what God's told me to do? How in the world? How would I know, world would I know what God has told me to do? That's why we gather here, is to read His Word and tell us what He's told, hear what He has told us to do, and take joy in the calling we have in Christ Jesus. If God has called and blessed you by His marvelous grace, and out of your personal Haran, out of your personal Ur of the Chaldees, and away from the lineage, and out of your personal house of Terah, then you're bound to God to be a blessing by faith that works. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. He says, I will bless them in our text. And I will bless them that bless thee. God will bless, He will praise, salute, or adore those that bless Abram. Specifically. But by extension, the children of Israel. So not just Abram, but those children in Israel. And ultimately, Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't a magic spell concerning a magic people. I've heard people say that, oh, Israel, they must be a magic people. You bless Israel, you have a magic spell upon you, you're going to be blessed. This is a promise of God toward people who are not, everybody who's not Abraham, who blesses Abraham and his lineage, there will be blessing there. The blessing, while meaning praise, salutation, or adoration, does not mean temporal wealth, safety, or promise, or lack of controversy. Meaning, if I send $10 over to the nation of Israel to help support the treasury, that doesn't mean I'm promised any reward back. You know, that's not what that means. Also, while my blessing does not equal or compare to the blessing of God, look at that. It says, God will bless and declare those that bless Abraham according to the ability of man. I will bless them that bless thee. So if we bless Abraham, his person, if we bless Abraham, his lineage in Israel, or we bless Abraham secondarily through the lineage of Abraham, those that are of the seed of Abraham who believe, or bless Abraham in Christ, then we shall be blessed by God. If we bless them according to our ability, God will bless us according to His. That's pretty amazing stuff. Pretty amazing stuff. That's a tremendous thought. You know, that if and according to my ability, if I bless Abraham through confessing Christ Jesus as Lord, and again, we're not worshiping Abraham, but he says, "In thee, I will bless them that bless thee." Well, Jesus was the son of Abraham. We read that. That's a tremendous thought. This country had a great deal of blessings, and that was evidence. You could witness that because after World War II, after the Reformation or Reformation of Israel, the United States was chief among its protectors worldwide, and still to a certain extent is, but that relationship has faded quite a bit. But this country, without promise, this country has no biblical promise of wealth or prestige. This country flourished over the past 100 years. And I believe a lot of that is because of its relationship with Israel. And this country being a godless country, committing murder and all sorts of abominations in the streets, openly on the television, this country is spared for a time because I believe largely that its relationship with Israel. But concerning the blessing particular to Abraham, there's no better example in Scripture than his wife, Sarah, for this promise. He says, I will bless them that bless thee. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I think this is a chief and most excellent example of someone blessing Abraham and receiving a blessing because of it. So we're going to see that specifically Abraham was blessed. The lineage of Abraham was blessed. And ultimately, the Lord Jesus was blessed through Sarah. Verses 11 and 12. It says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because he judged him faithful who had promised. That's a loaded statement. Therefore, sprang there even of one, of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, or as one as dead. That's talking about Abraham. He, as far as having children, he was as good as dead. Impossible for him to have children outside of the work of God there. As many as the stars as of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. So first, blessed and the blessed Abraham. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 15 through 19, Genesis chapter 17, my pages are stuck. Verses 17 through 19. Let's see. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Is this thing possible, God, that you promised us a child? Well, God, Abraham tried to do it his way. It was perceived that Sarah was barren, that she was unable to have children. So he went in unto Hagar, and they had Ishmael. So in verse 18 it says, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. Oh, it's impossible to do this new thing, God. Please take this other thing, God. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Why do we read that? Sarah was blessed of God as she had blessed Abraham. As we read in Hebrews chapter 11, she had to get over some things before she could act faithfully. Before she could bless Abraham, she had to get over some things. It says, through faith also Sarah received herself received strength to conceive seed. First of all, to have a baby, certain things have to happen. And that's very unlikely for a 90-year-old woman to do those things. But second of all, because he had already gone into Hagar, there was a certain amount of forgiveness that she had to give toward Abraham. And there was a certain amount of blessing that she had to do to submit to God to perform that thing that God had commanded her to do, to conceive that seed. This wasn't a Sarah, 90-year-old pre-diluvian, who those people lived 800 years. This was a sin-weary, strength-ridden woman of 90 years old. Functionally, she was given strength to do these things, but also emotionally, psychologically, she was given strength to do these things. She was given a strength of forgiveness to do these things. And she blessed Abraham, and because she blessed Abraham, a great nation was born. She blessed Abraham and likewise blessed the lineage. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, in blessing Abraham, Sarah's lineage was as the stars of heaven. Because she blessed Abraham, she was blessed in her old age with a lineage that can't be numbered. Well, that's receiving a blessing. Blessing them that bless thee. Well, yes. Because she blessed Abraham, she chiefly received a blessing. But also, she blessed the Lord Jesus. Most importantly, she blessed him. She blessed Abraham because she blessed the one who had made the promise and considered him faithful. You see that? That was in Hebrews chapter 11. And let's see. That was in verse 12. No, that was in verse 11. Through faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him, God, the Lord, Jehovah, faithful, who had promised. And because she counted him faithful, she blessed Abraham, and out of Abraham came the Jesus Christ through lineage. You want to be blessed of God, specifically bless Abraham by doing the works of Abraham. The works of Abraham. What are the works of Abraham? John chapter 8. And I know I'm using a lot of scripture, but like I said, for us to really get a hold of this thing, we have to go through the whole Bible. This is more or less an overview of these three verses. John chapter 8 and verse 39. It says, chapter 8 and verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. That's Jesus speaking. So what are the works of Abraham? The works of Abraham are faith, doing what God says. So you want to be, you want a blessing of God, be a blessing. He says, I will bless them that bless thee. If you want to, you want to be blessed of God, bless Abraham. And by blessing Abraham, you bless Abraham by doing the works of Abraham. You do the works of Abraham by living by faith. Living by faith. Justification, as we read through James already, comes by works of faith. Blessing God. Second, specifically, be sympathetic to the Jews or the people of God. You want a blessing of God? Bless His people. Right? That just makes sense. If somebody wants to get on my good side, they'd be kind to my children. You want a blessing from God? Bless God's people through Abraham. Specifically the Jews, but also extra sensitive, emphatically, you be a blessing to God's people, His chosen. In application, if you want a blessing from God, bless those that are called by the name of God. We've read in 1 John chapter 3 of the love of the brethren, that if you don't love the brethren, the love of God is not in you. We've read that. But most importantly, without the love or the blessing or the supreme blessing of Jesus Christ throughout all eternity, then there is no blessing of or praise or salute. But you bless Abraham through Christ, in Christ. That's what this is all about. Not Abraham, Christ. You bless the seed of Abraham, which is Christ. Then you have all eternal blessings in Christ Jesus. You have all eternal blessings. Psalm number 96 talks about blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord. And in blessing the Lord, you're blessing the essentially blessing Abraham, which is the seed of Abraham, which is Christ the Lord. Psalm number 96. 96, please. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heavens, His wonders among all the people. For the Lord is great, or because the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord Jehovah made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due His name. Bless Him. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Tell the sinners, the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for He cometh. For He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. You want to be part of those that bless Abraham, that God will bless? Well, bless him, bless His people, but ultimately bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And in blessing the Lord, if we were to read in Revelation chapter 5, there's a people that sing a new song and they praise God because He's saved us out of every nation, every kindred, every tribe, and made us kings and priests forever. What a wonderful thing to be blessed of the Lord. Well, blessing of the Lord. He says, I will bless them that bless thee. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And remember, And in this contract, in this covenant relationship, Abram did not initiate it. It was initiated by God. He says, in cursing, I will curse thee. That word curse means, again, execrate. E-X-E-C-R-A-T-E. Execrate. I don't hear that in conversation a whole lot. I don't use it myself. Execrate. Or to feel or express great loathing for something or someone, to slight someone or something, to be trifling, of little account, or made despicable, or bring into contempt or dishonor. But execrate. To see is vile. Just as my blessing or praise cannot match the blessing of God, my cursing cannot even. As a man, to the best of my ability, if I could express praise, God to his ability expresses praise. But as a man, the best of a man's ability to curse something will be matched by God's best ability to curse something. Consider that. Sinner, if you reject the Lord's Christ, your rejection is as much as you can reject him. Right now, if you're lost, you're rejecting him as much as you can. I don't care what sins you've done. You're in open rebellion against God. You cannot reject him anymore. But guess what? When God rejects you, he will reject you to his fullest potential. That's a serious thing. It's a very serious thing. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get out of that. Repent. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has the ability. He has the ability to do those things, to curse. Curse them that curse Abraham first. If you want to be cursed of God, then you curse God's man. You curse God's man. You hold God's man or God's woman or God's child in contempt. You hold them as despicable or trifling or dishonorable. You hold Abraham that way. Second, if you want to be cursed of God, you hold God's children, the children of Abraham, call them a curse. You loathe them. You despise them. Curse the Jews. Deem them as vile. That's a good way to get on God's pitiful side. But also curse the beloved of God. Curse the child of God. Curse that person that Jesus died for. You wage war against them. And that you'll be surely cursed of God. Surely cursed. That's a true curse. That's a surefire way to receive a cursing. We read from Galatians earlier. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3 again. Galatians chapter 3, please. And it says in verse 29. And if you be Christ's, if Jesus Christ has died for you, if he's paid for your sins, if the Father judged Jesus Christ at Calvary for your sins, if you be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed. I said at the outset that many of these promises did pertain to the child of God, and they do. You're Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Heirs. So these promises that God gave Abraham, if you're a child of God, if someone curses you, then that's a very dangerous promise that person is attempting to fulfill, receiving the curse of God. Very dangerous. Shout for glory if you've been redeemed, because every one of us is offensive to God's people and the seed of Abraham outside of Christ. And also, we see, curse them that curse thee because of the Lord Jesus. You want to be cursed eternally in hellfire? Curse, loathe, despise, have contempt, dishonor, and seem vile toward the Lord's Christ. Please look, and this is a familiar passage in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. But This is not a game. This is not anything to let slide. This is urgent. These are urgent words. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So remember that account. Men were bitten by snakes, and they lifted up a brazen serpent. And everybody who looked, it says looked. It doesn't say everybody who saw, but everybody who looked. They could be afar off, say 2,000 years off. But everybody who looked to that thing that was risen up would not perish. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth or looketh the same way, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Those are the seed of Abraham. For God so loved the world, or in such a manner, so means in such a manner. You ask me what I think about something, I'm actually, I think so. That doesn't mean I'm thinking really hard. Or I'm thinking so much, that means I think it's that way, or I think it's in such a manner. For God in such a manner loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Thank God. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But look, but he that believeth not is condemned already. He's accursed already. Accursed. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He hath cursed the lineage. Cursed the seed of Abraham. He's cursed. Cursed. You want to be cursed of God? Then curse God's man. Curse God's children. Curse God Himself through the seed of Abraham. Curse Christ. And you shall be cursed of God. And the last here, he says in chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 3, and in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is the last here. Luke, please, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. First part of the chapter, Mary and Joseph are making their way to Bethlehem, and they didn't have any place because Joseph was young and just a poor planner, so he didn't rent a room, so they had nowhere to stay. And verse 9, it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Well, we have every reason to fear, but this angel says, fear not, for behold, I will bring you good tidings, good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. If you're lost, I've got good news for you. Jesus the Christ has come. Look what He says, the good news to all people. For or because, this is the good news, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Why do you need a Savior if you're not a sinner? But He's born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, Jehovah. He's come. Good news. If you're cursed of God, good news. You can be blessed of God. Believe on the Lord's Christ and be saved. Unto you is born. Good tidings of great joy shall be to all people. Well, didn't Abraham receive a promise? He sure did. It says, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Good tidings of great joy to all people. Thank God that God has kept His promise. That was approximately 2,000 years after He made this promise to Abraham. And He kept it. And He's still keeping it. Because the basis of that promise is sure. Even Christ Himself. Because the Lord has separated Abram from country, from kindred, from house, and gave Abram promises, Abram would be a great nation. And he is. Abram would be blessed of God. And he was. God would give Abram a great name. And he did. God would make Abram a blessing. And he was a blessing. And he is a blessing. God would bless them that bless him. And he did. And continues to do so. Likewise, God did and continues to curse those that cursed Abraham. And ultimately, the whole world was blessed by the Christ that came from Abram, who took on the seed of Abraham. He did. Brother Gary read it, almost did, in Hebrews this morning, that Jesus didn't take on the seed of angels. He became a little lower than the angels, or for a little while, for a little time, lower than the angels. But he took on the seed of Abraham. That's what it says in Hebrews. You've been called out of country, and you've been called for some certain things. You've been afforded promises of God and blessed and be for a blessing and to be a blessing. The manifestation of God blessing and cursing those that bless and curse us is really none of our business. But it should caution us how we handle our brothers and sisters in Christ. Those of Abraham's seed, and we have been blessed and positioned as kings and priests in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the seed of Abraham. Unbeliever, you have no comfort in any of these promises. The only promise you can count on is that if you have cursed Abraham and the seed of Abraham, even Jesus Christ, you shall be accursed. See yourself as an offense. Repent of your offense. Repent of your sins and believe on Jesus Christ. And thereby, in the work of Christ, be eternally blessed. I know that was a long summary of three verses, but a summary nonetheless. So Brother Gary, please close us here in a time of song. If the Lord has shown you your sins, repent of your sins. Beg for forgiveness. Plead unto Christ that He would save you. And if the Lord has saved you, please tell us and serve Him. Don't just be added to the church, but serve Him in His church. Brother Gary.